We're in Acts chapter 11 this morning, fast approaching the middle of our quarter. Covered the first 10 chapters of Acts as we're studying the early church. In the beginning of the book, the writer records for us the last days of Jesus after his resurrection, ascension into heaven, and also in the same chapter, God choosing Matthias through the apostles to take the place of Judas, who betrayed Christ and hanged himself. Chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came on the apostles just as Jesus had promised to the apostles that he would do, to guide them into all truth. On the day of Pentecost, Peter and the 11 preached the first gospel sermon. About 3,000 souls were baptized that day and added to the church, continuing in Jerusalem, worshiping God, growing in the doctrine of the apostles, worshiping together in spiritual fellowship, and sharing in their temporal things that they had as each had need. Chapter 3, Peter healed the lame man at the Gate Beautiful as he and John were entering into the temple. Peter preached the gospel to those who were there at that time, preaching the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which the Jewish rulers of that day and the Sadducees did not like. Grieved them that they preached the resurrection. Of course, as we mentioned, the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. So they arrested Peter and John because of what they were preaching. Following day, they called them into question for the healing of the man and for the message of the gospel they preached, and they were released with a warning to do what? Stop preaching. That's right. Don't speak anymore in his name. Stop preaching the gospel. But the church continued to grow. At that time, it reached about 5,000, and those who had property sold their land, gave the price of those things to the apostles to be distributed out to the saints who were in need. Come to Jerusalem, were ill prepared to stay for an extended time. And one of those who gave the money for the sale of his property was who? Barnabas, who sold his property. Barnabas was from the Isle of Cyprus, and he gave all of what he had gotten for the property to the Lord. In chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira were killed by God. He took their life because in their greed, they sold a piece of property, kept back part of the price, but lied about the fact that what they gave to the Lord was all that they got for sale. And also, in the end of that chapter, the apostles are arrested, miraculously released from prison by an angel, called before the Sanhedrin, beaten and released again with a warning to stop preaching the gospel. In chapter 6, an issue arose over the administration to the Grecian widows, and the apostles asked the congregation in Jerusalem to choose 7 men who would oversee that work, and they did. The apostles laid hands on them, and they oversaw the work of the daily administration. Stephen, who was one of the 7, feuded with the Grecian Jews. They could not withstand his speech and the things that the Spirit had to say. So what did they do? I heard somebody say something. Okay. Well, first of all, in the end of chapter 6, they hired false witnesses to charge falsely that he had committed blasphemy. So in chapter 7, Stephen is called before the council to make his defense. In his defense, he convicted them of their sins. The fact that they were guilty of killing the prophets, killing the Lord. In chapter 2, when Peter preached the first sermon with the 11, they were convicted of their sins. What did they do? They repented and were baptized. But in chapter 7, when Stephen confronted the Jewish rulers with their sins, they were cut to the heart, they were convicted, but they killed the messenger. Now, they killed the messenger, but did that change the message? No, it did not. People sometimes, when they're confronted with their sins, there's either one or two things they're going to do. They're either going to repent and change, or they're going to get angry because they don't want to hear it. And though it's against the law to murder today, have people changed? No, they're the same way today that they've always been. So either we repent or we get angry and things that are wrong. But they stoned Stephen because of the fact that he had told them the truth and convicted them of their sins. Saul was a part of that in the fact that he held the coats of those who stoned Stephen to death. Chapter 8, the persecution against the Christians became so strong, Saul leading the charge on that, that the church in Jerusalem was scattered abroad. Only the apostles were left in Jerusalem. And so those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the gospel message. As the need of the seven was no longer needed since the church was scattered, Philip went down to Samaria preaching the gospel. The Samaritans were converted, many of them, including Simon the sorcerer. And then in the end of that chapter, Philip went down on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza, met with the eunuch of Ethiopia, and through his preaching the gospel to him, also the Ethiopian eunuch heard it. In chapter 9, the same Saul of Tarsus who had been doing the persecuted, the Lord appeared to him on the road to Damascus as he was going to Damascus to arrest and persecute the Christians there. As a result of that, Saul was converted, went into Damascus preaching the gospel, went into Arabia, eventually journeyed down to Jerusalem where those in Jerusalem were afraid to take him into their fellowship and trust him. But Barnabas took Saul, brought him to the apostles, the leaders of the church, and Saul was with them disputing with the Greeks. The Greeks determined they were going to kill him. And so the Christians took Saul, brought him up to Caesarea, and sent him on to Tarsus in Cilicia, which was his home. To introduce our lesson today, we look back at chapter 10, where Peter converted Cornelius and his household, Cornelius being a Roman centurion, a Gentile. Peter had seen a vision in which the Lord had showed him the law of clean and unclean had been abolished. And Peter came to Cornelius' house where many of his friends and relatives had gathered to hear what Peter had to say. The Holy Spirit came on them as Peter preached, and they were baptized for the remission of their sins. So, as we begin today's lesson, the apostles and those in Judea, beginning in chapter 11, verse 1, had heard that the Gentiles also had received the word. So, Peter came to Jerusalem, and when he came to Jerusalem, those in Jerusalem took issue with him and said, "You went into those who were uncircumcised, and you ate with them." So let's read verses 1 through 4 of chapter 11. Harry, would you read those first four verses?
"The apostles and brethren of Judea also have received the word. The apostles of Jerusalem have been uncircumcised
and spouted the message of the Lord, saying..." Okay, all right. Kind of ended in the middle of the sentence there, didn't it? Okay, so you associated and ate with uncircumcised men. Now, had God told the Israelites not to associate with those who were not Jews? You look back at Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 through 6, Exodus chapter 34. God had told them, when you go into the land that I've given you, do not associate with the people of the land, because why? What did they worship? Okay, they worship idols, they'll turn your heart away, and you'll be going after idols. So don't associate with those people. But what was the problem that plagued Israel all through their history? They didn't drive those people out, and they did associate with them. And it did lead to their downfall. So they weren't led to Israel's downfall. but they learned their lesson during the years of silence. Even when God let them go into captivity because of their unfaithfulness, they came back. Ezra and Nehemiah still had the same issue with them wanting to intermarry with the people of the land. They hadn't learned their lesson. But during the years of silence, when the Jewish sects came into being, Jews were scattered all over the world, they finally learned their lesson, and they would not associate with Gentiles. So they finally learned what they ought to be doing. This was a big issue. It was an issue so deeply ingrained in them that Peter was even carried away with it. Somebody said something about that last week. Back in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 11, when Peter came to Antioch, Paul says, "I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation." You know, when we look at that, we've got the Scriptures. We look at that history, and it's so clear to us. God's plan, what God planned for the Jews, the fact that the law's done away with, it's no more. But put yourself back in that time. Here you were, a Jew. All through this time, God had been saying, do not associate with the Gentiles. Well, throughout history, that was a problem. So now you come to the time of Christ. Christ has died. The Jews would not associate with the Gentiles. Then here's Peter, when Gentiles ate with them, preached the gospel to them, and their first prime concern was not the fact that here the Gentiles received the gospel and they've been baptized. Their first primary concern was, you went in, the Gentiles, an uncircumcised people, and you ate with them. But put ourselves in their position, would we have done any different? They didn't see it like we see it. They had to be convinced. Peter had to show them. God had shown Peter through the what? Through the vision. But they hadn't seen the vision, so they had to be shown what Peter had seen and what Peter knew. As I said, it's clear to us. It wasn't too clear to them at that time. But verse 5, Peter began to speak, and he answered their charge in the fact that here's what happened. Now, this started a controversy among the Jews in the fact that the Jews followed, as we said, the fear of the gospel and the spread of the gospel, trying to get the Gentiles, teaching that they had to be Jews first before they could become Christians and before they could be saved. But Peter began to speak and explain what happened. He said, "I was in the city of Joppa. I was praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. And in that vision, a vessel came down like a sheet, tied at four corners, and it came right down to me. And when I saw it, when I looked in it, there were all kinds of four-footed beasts of the earth and fowls of the air and creeping things. And I heard a voice say to me, 'Peter, arise and kill.' And I said, 'Not so, Lord, because I've never eaten anything unclean or common.' And the voice said again to me, 'What God hath cleansed, do not call thy unclean or common.' So that happened three times, and it was taken back up into heaven. And at that moment, there were three men who appeared at the gate who had been sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit said to me, 'You go with them, and you don't doubt anything. And these six brethren are witnesses. They saw what happened. And we entered the man's house, and Cornelius told us how an angel had appeared to him and told him to send to Joppa for Peter, whose name's Simon, and bring him back, and he will speak words to you by which you and your household shall be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them as it had on us at the beginning, and I remember the Lord, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If God gave to them the same gift that he gave to us who believed on the Lord, who am I that I could stand in God's way?" So when the apostles and the Jewish Christians heard Peter's explanation, they had no further objection. So they praised God and said, So then God hath granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life. So again, these Jewish Christians hadn't seen the vision. Peter had to convince them. And the fact that the angel appeared to Cornelius, but did that save him? No. We talked about this last week some. You know, a lot of people, I would say the larger portion of the religious world would say, all you have to do is believe. And we talked last week about faith only, some. Well, if that were so, then Cornelius, could he have been saved at this point? Appeared to him? He believed. He already believed, but that wasn't good enough. So the angel appearing to Cornelius didn't save him. The account that we read in chapter 11, which is not in chapter 10, says Peter would tell them words whereby what? They and he and his household would be saved. So the angel had told Cornelius to call for Peter, but he told him why Peter was to come, to tell him what he and his household needed to do in order to be saved. So the Holy Spirit fell on them prior to their baptism, just as it had fallen on the apostles in the beginning. Fell on the apostles. Why? Well, the promise that Jesus had made that the Spirit would come to lead them into all truth, to equip them with being able to carry out the work, to preach the gospel, to do the things that God had given them to do. Fell on Cornelius. Why? Okay. To confirm the word was to go out to the Gentiles. Here were the Gentiles. Here was Peter and these six brethren who had come to Peter, who were Jewish Christians. And the Spirit came on them to show to these Jews that God had, not only to these six Jews, but to all people, that God had also chosen the Gentiles for salvation. And Peter's conclusion is, if God gave them the same gift that He gave on us at the beginning, then who was I to, how could I oppose God? Who was I to stand in the way of God? And so the apostles, the Jewish Christians, those who had given the charge to Peter, you ate with uncircumcised men, they couldn't argue with the truth. You know, man never has been able, nor will he ever be able, to argue against the truth of God's Word. Comments or anything anybody's got to add to that? Everybody's quiet this morning. Right. That was God's plan. Exactly. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Spirit searched the mind of God and revealed that to the apostles. The apostles taught it, confirmed it with miracles, and today we have it, the complete mind of God revealed to man. God chose that through preaching of the gospel that man would be saved, 1 Corinthians. Anybody else? Good point. Jesus had given Peter basically the keys to the kingdom. He preached the first gospel sermon. He announced in verse 38 of chapter 2 the terms of salvation, to repent and be baptized. In chapter 8, when Simon the sorcerer committed sin, he gave him the steps of repentance and praying for remission of sins. He preached the gospel. He brought the first gospel sermon to Cornelius, to the Gentiles. So yes, he could very well have said that, but very, very good point. Right. Right. Romans chapter 6 being one. Very, very good. Anybody else? Comments? Those are very good. Very good thoughts. We need to think about those things and talk about them when we're... Okay. Acts chapter 11, beginning with verse 19. The gospel spreads even to Antioch. Luke takes us back to Acts chapter 8, where those who were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the gospel. Verse 19, beginning and reading through verse 26. Now when they were scattered abroad under the persecution that arose against Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but only the Jews. Some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching to Jesus Christ, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then tidings of these things came to the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. When he found him, he brought him into Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So Luke takes us back to Acts chapter 8 when the disciples were scattered because of the persecution. And some of them went as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the gospel only to the Jews. However, there were some of the men from Cyprus and Cyrene who went to Antioch and preached to the Grecians. And many of them believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached Jerusalem. And when it reached Jerusalem, the apostles there sent Barnabas to Antioch, who when he arrived and saw the disciples, he was glad. And he began to exhort them that they remain faithful to the Lord. Barnabas was a good man. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He had faith. This was the Barnabas who had given all that he gotten for the possession of the land and gave it to the Lord. This was Barnabas, who's very prominent throughout time in Acts. And so he taught the people, realized the work that needed to be done. Paul had been rescued from the Greeks, sent to Tarsus, home in Cilicia. So Barnabas went looking for him and brought him back to share in the work. And he realized that Barnabas knew Saul. Barnabas was the one who had taken Saul to the leaders in Jerusalem of the church and expounded to them what how God had appeared to him, how Jesus had appeared to him, and how he had been saved through baptism and how he had been preaching in Damascus. So he brought Saul to Antioch to help in the work. He realized that Saul would be a great asset in preaching the gospel and in the work there. And they spent a whole year teaching the people. And as a result, we see a congregation that was very strong. We see a congregation that was very active and very influential in the first century as they were preaching the gospel. Jesus had given them the charge to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, teaching them to what? Observe all things whatsoever he had commanded them, and this is what Barnabas and Saul were doing during that year. You know, every church needs good preachers, good teaching program, and we're certainly blessed here at Eastside to have that. You look at these young men who've been preaching on Sunday night. Look at the knowledge that they have. Look at the job that they've been doing. And that is a testament to teaching at home of godly parents. It's a testament to teaching in the church. And, you know, it's sad that there are too many congregations where this is not so. You can't have a strong church when you got weak preaching. And we're truly blessed. And Saul and Barnabas was doing what God had commanded them to do. And that was teaching them more fully what the word of the Lord was. And as I said, because of that, there was a strong church in Antioch. Believers were called Christians first at Antioch. Up to this point, they had been called simply disciples. Christian meaning a follower of Christ. This was the first recorded congregation comprised of both Jew and Gentile. And the name Christian was a term that was understood by the people of the day. Acts chapter 26 and verse 28, when Paul was making his defense to Agrippa, Agrippa said, "Almost thou what? Persuadest me to be a Christian." Agrippa understood the term. God approved it in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16. Peter uses the term Christian. So God approved of the term. Don't know who assigned the term, if it was assigned by God, if it was assigned by the Jews, his enemies. Don't know. It doesn't matter. The Jew and Gentile Christians at Antioch were called Christians first there. Local congregations of the Lord people were called churches of Christ. Romans chapter 16, verse 16, the churches of Christ salute you. Nothing denominational in that, just churches that belong to who? On to Christ. So we see the gospel being preached. Church continue to grow and spread to other nations as the seed lodged in good and honest hearts. Those who were scattered abroad went everywhere pre-gospel. Started in Jerusalem and then spread to Judea, into Samaria, through the apostles, through Philip, through the scattering Christians, as Peter went down to the coastal plain of Sharon, Lydda, Caesarea, Philip also preaching in that area, living and dwelling in Caesarea. And then, of course, Paul, as he went up to Damascus, and then traveled on through his home, Tarsus, and of course, preaching in Syria, preaching in Cilicia. We see the spread of the gospel as it continues on in Phoenicia, then in Cyprus, and down in Cyrene. So we know that the gospel was preached in those areas. Gospel continued to spread. But in Acts chapter 8, it says those who were scattered went where? Everywhere, preaching the gospel. You look back at Acts chapter 2, pretty much every nation, then known world, was present there as Jews were scattered everywhere during the years of silence who came to Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. And Jews from every place were converted. And as they went back home, we know the gospel had to be spread in other areas. But these are areas that we know for sure at this time the gospel had been spread to. And then even with the eunuch of Ethiopia, even down into Ethiopia, which would be down south of Egypt. So the gospel spreading, people are preaching the word. As those who were baptized went everywhere sharing. They weren't apathetic. Something great had happened to them. They had received the gospel. They believed. They were baptized. And they wanted to share it with everybody. So wherever they went preaching the gospel. One of the problems we have today is maybe we get too busy, or maybe we're just apathetic and we're not enthused and excited about that like they were. Wherever they went preaching the gospel. Anything before we go on? And it lists those nations. And that's what Paul said. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, male nor female, bond or free. The gospel's for all. And Luke follows that line. And of course, Cornelius' baptism in conjunction with Peter being over in Joppa and Sharon and Lydda and Caesarea. And now coming back to, okay, now here's where we left off at. Let's talk about the rest. Have the second example of conversion of the Gentile. Congregation made up of both Jew and Gentile with Barnabas and Saul. And leading us into what's fixing to happen. We've got one more chapter with Peter, and then the division ends where Peter's pretty much the main character, and then Paul continues. Anything else? Very good. Okay, so during those days, there were prophets who came to Antioch of Syria from Jerusalem, and one of those prophets was named Agabus. Agabus stood up and prophesied that there was going to be a great famine that was going to happen. And that famine, of course, took place during the days of Augustus Caesar, which was AD 41 to AD 54. And because of the famine that was coming, the church at Antioch decided that they would send relief to the brethren in Judea, and they sent it to the elders by the hands of Saul and Barnabas. So, came to pass during the days of Claudius Caesar, Christians at Antioch determined to send relief to the churches of Judea who had borne the brunt of the early days of the church, and they sent it to the elders of the congregation by the hands of Barnabas and by the hands of Saul. Each gave as they had ability. Acts chapter 11 verse 29, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verse 2. And they sent that as we are to give according to our ability. just some observations that we've seen so far in principles very quickly. You know, as we study the book of Acts, there are a lot of principles that we see that determine for us today what we do. Local church sent a preacher to preach the gospel. The church at Jerusalem sent Barnabas up to Antioch to preach the gospel. A local church took care of the needs of its members. Acts chapter 2 and verse 45. Again in Acts chapter 4, as members gave of their means to support those who were in need. And here we see a local church sending relief to needy brethren. They sent it by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. They sent directly to the eldership. Gives us authority to send relief to Christians in other areas, other congregations. Does not give us authority to send that relief to a central organization to be distributed as they see fit. It was sent directly to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. First mention we have of an eldership. The church in Jerusalem was overseen by who? Apostles. Now we have elders in place who oversaw the work. You know, our children need to be taught these basic truths. As we study the book of Acts with them, as they're old enough to understand, they need to be taught the basic principles that we see in the book of Acts. They need to understand how we establish authority for what we do. They need to understand the limitations placed on us by the authority that we see in the New Testament. And there are a lot of things in Acts that lay the foundation for what we do today. Very important that they understand those things. To us, it's a given. We understand those and don't even think about it sometimes. But they're young, they're maturing, they need to understand these. They're going to understand anything else. Wednesday night, we'll continue with chapter 12. Thank you for your thoughts and your attention.